Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we don't have any intro music today for the Marty Smith Show, and I'm about 20 minutes late. And I'm going to explain why I'm late. I am late because I had to go renew my medical marijuana license or card or prescription. And then I ended up into a conversation with the facility about the upcoming changes in California. And I told her that after December or January 1st, or as of January 1st, I will no longer be going to dispensaries. Meaning, because it's a mess. They have, unless it's a specific to medical marijuana, I will not be buying marijuana for recreational use. Two reasons. One is I grow my own, and I grow a very good strain, which everybody has given me quite the accolade. The other issue is, the way this has worked out, it's nothing more than the recriminalization of marijuana, citing it as legalization, particularly now that you have Jeff Sessions as Attorney General under this administration. And then she said, well, you're smart. I said, I already know that. In fact, when I was working on my doctorate degree, I interviewed them to get some background. However, I said they basically have created a mess, upward 70% tax. She goes, oh, no, it's supposed to be a 45% tax. I said, is that on medical marijuana or is that non-medical? I said, the media is touting a 70% tax. She said, well, you might be right. The 45% might be for medical marijuana. Well, that ain't going to do nothing but create an underground market. One of the beautiful things that medical marijuana has done is not allowed me to have to go deal and find some dope dealers. I mean, I have to go in the back alleys looking for somebody slinging sack. You bypass all that. But when you have such tiers, you create opportunities, just like with cigarettes now. Everybody's peddling cigarettes. You see? So you create such tiers of criminality. Well, she said, well, you don't want to really, I said, I'm not going to be dealing with legalized non-medical pot. She goes, you're right. Because if you do and present your ID at the dispensary, they're going to record it, send it to the DMV. And also, they're going to send it to the DMV. Who polices the DMV? The state police. Who's the state police? The highway patrol. And you're going to see an insurance spike in your insurance, auto insurance premiums. I said, well, the governor has not helped with this by signing certain legislation that basically backdoors criminality and creates these tiers for medicinal and non-medicinal pot. By trying to make a dime off everything and commoditizing and taxation, pretty much put yourself right back into the criminal pot. So I told her, I grow a great strain. I think I'm going to do that. So she goes, go get a cultivation license. I said, I went to the website yesterday for the county. Now, I'm registered with the county to grow. However, I looked at the website yesterday, and the county site said that they were not honoring growers for non-medicinal marijuana. Okay, Well, then if you're not going to honor it at the county, city level, that means that it's nothing more than a criminal sham. They said they will continue to honor grow permits for medicinal. Oh, well, common sense. You can grow medicinal marijuana, no additional taxation, no additional hoops so far, and you bypass all of the drug dealing nature of this. Now, that makes more sense. But a lot of you actually think you're going to get off in this dope business, this weed game. No, you're not. You're going to end up behind federal bars, and you're going to end up being tracked, okay? And this may also affect folk who carry firearms. You may find yourself not able to carry a firearm, permitted firearm, because your information has been sent to all of these agencies, and that's what's going to occur. So, clear about this. In the state of California, anyone can grow 6 plants and not have to worry. I can grow 6 plants 10 feet tall. And the way I grow them, they'll be 10 feet tall, but then they're going to be bent down and lying on the ground. So they'll never get no higher than 3 feet as a bush. But it'll grow like a grapevine toward the ground. I get better herb that way, because what normally just grows up like a Christmas tree, now each branch becomes its own set of Christmas trees. You get it? So normally you just grow one bud, one big cola, and you got the Christmas tree. No, lean the plant over, and each one of those tentacles of the Christmas tree or the bud plant is going to become additional trees. This is Grow Science 101, if you know how to maximize your yield. Again, many folks are going to be get caught out, okay? You're going to be caught out. And I don't look at this any different than I look at what has happened with DACA. You convince these people that y'all had they back, had them submit all their information, come out of the woodworks, the shadows, and then you stabbing them in the back. Democrats tipped the ball up to the DACA. Republicans snatched it out of the rim before you could even dunk the ball. So that is what is going on, and that is what I see. As we get more information moving forward, we will actually inform you guys of what and which way you need to move and how you need to be thinking about this. This is not going to be no return to the 70s, 80s, 90s. Recreate big ball and dope game. Get that out your mind, people. Get that out your mind. You're going to have to negotiate the law. You're going to have to know the law. So that's why I was 20 minutes late in opening the show, but it's also information that I wanted to bring into the show because everybody's scratching their head. I was invited to go to a dispensary yesterday, and we use the word dispensary to quantify outlets for medical marijuana. I don't know what new language will be if it's non-medical, okay? This is highly important because some of you are going to get caught up in a major way. Driving while high in a major way. Everybody likes to park out in somebody's front of somebody else's house and smoke blunts and then drive off. But half the time they drink it. Leave the beer bottles and the wine and whatever right in front of your house. Well, I've seen some things that probably are going to in the weed game. Otherwise, it's going to all be recriminalized at the highest level. And so every time you go into a pot shop to buy non-medical marijuana, what is really going to happen? You're going to be surveilled. That's all that's going to happen. Your information is going to be recorded. People are going to send that information to other agencies and authorities. And this is why you cannot trust the direction that this is going in California. Colorado did something a little different because they didn't have medical. They just went straight into legal weed. But again, the whole purpose of me trying to get a doctorate degree understanding and studying medical marijuana was to create sustainability in it, because I already knew that we are not going to do nothing different in California or the United States but let big business in tobacco and shut down all the small growers, shut down all the small operations, and then it becomes some corporate brouhaha mixed in with civil authorities, and you're going to have feds serving you weed. That's all it can do. It can't do much else because it's set up for that and at the highest rates possible. So you're going to have to be careful, folks. You're going to have to think through some things now, and you're going to find yourself being challenged, in my opinion, to make proper decisions about this whole herb thing. It is not rocket science. It doesn't have to be. But again, just like when medical marijuana hit the streets of Los Angeles, everybody thought that was a come up. And I'm trying to advise folks, don't think you're about to just grow a bunch of weed. Don't do it. Okay, you need to have a real program together so that you can make the proper choices. Okay? It's just like getting your first driver's license. It takes some responsibility to get the next one or to stay out of jail and to drive responsibly. So, with that, let's take a break here on the Marty Smith Show, and we're going to get into some politics. right, we're going to listen to a few different clips ranging from what's going on in Washington to what's going on around you in your own communities.
That was good. And I suck at algebra. Full disclosure, yeah.
So come on, I love you. I love you. You
thank you.
Just like that. Oh, Golden State last night in Boston. NBA Finals coming up. Yeah.
So this is front page.
You want it to be Boston and Golden State? You don't care about it.
I do. Okay, this is where we at now. What's his name? His big father. Talking about he's got his son.
LeVar Ball.
Thank you. And now it's like, okay, what are you thinking your son? Damn, China's stealing. Really? You're talking all this, but stealing and China stealing.
Okay, you're going to probably disagree with me, but Anonymous, we can't control our children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter how old we do our best to raise them.
I kind of put it down from the time I was four to 14.
Man, you know, I don't believe spanking, but I don't believe in spanking, but my mom did, and she still didn't control everything I did all the time. I'm not going to tell all my business, but I sure did some stuff she didn't want me to do. She did, too.
And I think by the age of
six,
I was like, okay, I got y'all, because I don't like that. Hey, so I ain't going to do that. No, no.
All right. Well, you know, I understand that we do have responsibility as parents.
Wait, Dominic, did you see you didn't see the game? You didn't see Golden State, and you never mentioned Golden State. That's why I'm calling you.
That's because we're in L.A. We have teams. We have the Clippers, and we have the Lakers. My BFF, and a bunch of my godmother has season tickets to the Warriors. My BFF and her husband have season tickets to the Warriors. I'm surrounded by Warrior fans. I'm trying to be true to the streets in L.A. Come on now. Show some love. I live here now.
They bought California. They just
all right. Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it.
Dominic, talk about Golden State.
Oh, my God.
Not just the Lakers and the Clippers, because I ain't going to get no good goals coming from the Lakers and the Clippers.
Well, we can have a
Golden State.
In fact, you know what's funny? Mariah put it on the sports calendar, and I just ignored it today. She said, Celtics beat the Warriors 92-88. There you go. I've done it. Thank you for your call. I won't ignore it in my second news break, okay? I'll dedicate that to you even though I don't know your name. Thank you for your call. I'm going to go to Javori, the Valley.
Good morning, Dominic. How are you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored. What's on your mind and good morning?
Good morning, Chief. You know what? I tried to call him yesterday. I couldn't make it. It was like 5:57. I'm really bothered in my spirit about how judgmental and how harsh we're being on these three young men. Listen, I mean, as you know, they're youngsters. You know, I had a buddy that went to UCLA, and they used to be Caucasian kids that were going steal beer from convenience stores. And they would get slapped on the wrist if they would get caught. I just think that we shouldn't be so harsh on very young people. They're going to make mistakes. I've heard people go so far as to say that they should be expelled from school. For what? They made a mistake. They didn't take a life.
You and I agree, Javori, because if you were listening yesterday, you heard me say that. I think we're so quick to throw our young men, especially young black men, under the bus. And we don't do the same with other communities. We should be doing everything we can to save these young, promising men. It's hard enough for black men to get into college, stay in college, have opportunities. Now, I'm not saying that it shouldn't pay the price, but I'm with you. You don't just kick them to the curb.
I don't know what their personal life's containing, but let's just say one day they're going to be somebody's father, somebody's wife. Why ruin your career because they made a mistake? And here we are, these are our young men, and we're like rallying behind you know, behind the rest of the...
Behind Louis Vuitton.
Behind Louis Vuitton, really.
I mean, I do think what they did was sublimely stupid. And, you know, somebody needs to... I don't even believe in spanking, but when you're a pretty much grown-up man who's still a boy, somebody probably needs to smack you. UCLA made the decision that they needed to stay there to be on the safe side and also to show respect. UCLA goes on and beats Georgia Tech in that game, 63-60. And then everybody goes home on Saturday night except for the three players and the couple of administrators. Five of them stay behind. Now, President Trump meets with President Xi in China, and then requests the release. Of course, he takes credit, even though there were a lot of other people working behind the scenes. I'm sure he may have helped out, but, you know, he wasn't the only one. Then on Tuesday, they were able to leave the country. The charges were withdrawn, even though they admitted to breaking the law, which, from what I understand, was part of the behind-the-scenes negotiation. And then they made it back to LAX on Tuesday. They had a press conference. They didn't take questions. We know that. And they have been suspended from the team indefinitely. But they were not suspended or expelled from the school, and a lot of people are complaining about that. What's next? We may have a hint of that. A lot going on. You know, what's going on with Zimbabwe? We can talk about that. What's going on with Al Franken? We can talk about that. So much to talk about. What is on your mind? 520-KJLE, 520-5554. This is what we do on Tuesdays and Fridays. We'll open up the phone for whatever. I love this. It's one of my favorite things. Kitchen table conversation. We do it on the internet, though. We do it on Facebook. We do it on Instagram. We do it on Twitter. Radio Free KJLH, Suprema Radio. And while you're up there, if you wouldn't mind, follow us, like us, all that good stuff. Because, you know, we like to hear from you. That's,
Whoa! Say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound. The cool groove with the bone transplant.
Hip bone connected to my thigh bone. My thigh bone connected to my leg bone. My leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get so hung up on bones. But Dr. Funkenstein here.
We occupy and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of the hip.
Thank you.
y'all got your sunglasses on out there?
Folks, we're back live, and we love you, Dr. Frankenstein, also. Now, I don't know if anybody saw this, but it was on the news this morning and all yesterday. Some scientists created this robot. Did y'all see this robot doing backflips, doing football drills, full body motion? He had everything but a head. He had just like a what was that? Battlestar Galactica those robots they was fighting with the little light that went in as a brain. I guess that's all he had was just like a little camera. But he did a full backflip, was doing all kind of stuff, and I'm like, wow. This is crazy compared to where we were just 3 years ago with robotics. And now they're introducing sex robots. Japan and China Asia already has some. Or what they call comfort robots or whatever. This is wild, dude. I don't, you know. And then you had my man roll out the electric semi-truck, and that looked actually kind of cool. That was kind of cool. I mean, if it's electric, hell, that's going to change how you get your license. You don't have to deal with all them damn gears. You just sit there and drive. So, of course, Ralph Nader's show went deep into robotics and what's really coming down the pike. And I just, once you hear them talk about this, like, how can I even think about this way? You know, folks run around trying to get jobs, keep their health insurance, and get themselves together and stay above the fray of political BS. But the reality is, we are in a system that is planning to enslave us. There's no way out. And you'll be enslaved from various levels. whether it's religion, emotionality, economics, class, gender, all of it is just a trap.
Good week.
But I don't recall. David, it's just a yes or no question, please.
Did you have a good week?
I can't remember.
Oh, boy. All right. You and Jeff Sessions. And we also have the man of the hour, Ralph Nader. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, everybody. Here we go. This is a show that includes the coming of the robotic world replacing humans.
Well, that sounds very dark and sci-fi, Ralph. I would frame it this way. I would say populism is the theme of today's show as we welcome back one of our favorite guests, America's number one populist, the one, the only, the indefatigable Jim Hightower. The word populist, you know, gets thrown around a lot to describe our current president, who we all know is really a corporation disguised as a human being, if they may steal a phrase from Ralph. But Hightower represents everything it means to be a true progressive populist. Today, he's going to talk about how in this age, automation, robots can work for us, but we can work for the robots. So what's it going to be? Also on the show, we're going to discuss one of our favorite subjects, public justice. When we welcome about a judge in her home state of Minnesota by the name of Miles Lord. This judge presided over many groundbreaking cases in favor of women's health, consumer rights, education, and the environment. And the book is entitled Miles Lord, the Maverick Judge that brought corporate America to justice. Sounds like music to Ralph's ears. We will, as always, take a break somewhere in the middle and check in with our corporate crime reporter, Russell Mokhiver, who has never had a loss uncovering malfeasance in the world of big business. But first, let's go down to Austin, Texas, and hear from a real troublemaker.
Hello, everybody out there in radio land. Great to be with us. The gang here, Dave and Ralph and Steve, and with all the new listeners out there, to talk about something that's rather big, that's not being talked about in the power centers of our country.
Beware of the invasion of the robot economy. For those few people among our listeners who don't know about Jim Hightower, David, why don't you introduce him?
Jim Hightower is a syndicated columnist, national radio commentator, and America's number one populist. He's a prolific author of such books as Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow. Mr. Hightower is a board member of Public Citizen and also a founding member of Our Revolution, an organization inspired by the issues brought up in the Bernie Sanders campaign. And if that's not enough, he writes a monthly newsletter called The Hightower Lowdown. Welcome back to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, Jim Hightower.
Thank you both. It's great to be with you, and important to be with you, I think, to talk about this coming invasion of the robots that is actually not coming. It's already here.
One thing that David looked out in your biography is you were the elected Secretary of Agriculture in the state of Texas on your way to becoming the governor before you were attacked in a smear campaign led by the FBI and its allies, political allies, and you lost the second race for Secretary of Agriculture to Rick Perry, who then became governor of Texas, who, me, Rick Perry, and now he's Secretary of Energy in Washington, D.C. for the Trump regime. So, listeners, this is a program about something that isn't what we've talked about for a long time. We've talked about corporations who can harm you, who can cheat you, who can unemploy you, who can underinsure you, who can disrespect you, who can stifle your voices, but the corporate robots that are coming will displace you. They'll produce the products and services. You won't have any cashiers in supermarkets. There'll be robots. There'll be robots in the hospitals. There'll be robots in our government. There'll be robots being able to launch autonomous wars and run your cars and trucks. What's not to like, Jim Hightower?
Well, this is a bad news, good news story, so let's work over the bad news first. As you're indicating there, Ralph, this is a huge change in America's workplace because these are not your grandfather's old robots working in factories to weld and piece together stuff. Do multiple tasks, cognitive ability to figure out problems, cognitive ability to speak to each other, robot to robot, the ability to create robots. hospitals estimated that robots will, in a short period of time, maybe like in 10 years, be able to do 80% of what doctors do. Now, they're already giving colonoscopies. You might want to think about that before you book your next appointment for that intrusive procedure. They're in the supermarkets, as Ralph points out. In fact, Amazon, which just bought Whole Foods, has another chain of stores that is developing called Amazon Go, and there's no people in it. There's no clerks to take your money. There's no clerks to stock the shelves. There's no human beings present except customers, and you're expected just to come in with your code that attaches to an Amazon card, and then you can pick out your own goodies and walk out the door. All very convenient, they say, but where do all those clerks want to be? Where are those stockers? Where do they go? And we're not talking about a few jobs. We're talking about, by a couple of different estimates, 45 to 50% of all U.S. jobs within the next 10 years will be displaced by robots. And it's already well underway. For example, in the trucking industry, the long-haul trucks are, of course, run throughout our economy. It's about a $700 billion a year industry. But it's also been a place where people with just a high school education have been able to get a decent paying job. Union Teamster drivers or other union drivers of long-haul trucks make on the order of $45,000 a year. So it's a living pay that they're able to get. But they're already being targeted. We've got Tesla introducing this week an electric truck that'll have quite a bit of the self-driving capabilities in it. A company called Embark, which combines with Ryder trucks and the appliance giant Electrolux, are already putting devices in trucks so that they will be self-driving. So this is going to be about 2 million jobs are going to be disappear, not just instantly, but over just a few years. There's another company called U.S. Express that's already got braking and collision avoidance systems in their trucks. They've got 7,000 trucks. They're now introducing automated lane steering, and the head of it says, I'm putting building blocks into my trucks that each year gets us closer and closer to a fully autonomous driverless truck.
Well, before we talk about the movement, you want to get underway here. Let's ask some irreverent questions. In the year 2002, in Wired Magazine, Bill Joy, the chief scientist for Sun Microsystems Corporation in California, wrote an article titled, The Future Doesn't Need Us, and he talked about artificial intelligence or robotics, talked about nanotechnology, biotechnology, it's sort of out of control type future that he described. And it caused a little ripple, but it didn't lead to congressional hearings. It didn't lead to any citizen mobilization. So let's say this plays out, and listeners should know, by the way, that the vast amount of research that has created this robotic science and technology came from you, the taxpayers. The vast amount is taxpayer research and development given to these corporations free, and they're running with it. So let's look at this scenario. Let's say we have a huge robotic society. Nobody has to pick up dirty garbage anymore. Nobody has to deal with the kind of work that most people don't want to do. It'll get rid of a lot of tedious work. We can devote our lives to the arts and scientists. Just like John Adams, our second president, said that his generation was made up of politicians and statesmen so that their children could become doctors and scientists, so that their children could become musicians and artists. So, okay, so, well, you know, you have a society where people can do music and poetry and savor the natural world and parks and spend a lot of time with their children if they have capital investment in this robotic economy. In other words, they lose their jobs, but they are given capital investment. They get the returns for all the people of this country, including a uniform basic income, which people like Richard Nixon and Milton Friedman, as well as other liberal advocates, have supported for years. What's wrong with a future like that?
There's nothing wrong with a future like that, but we are the ones, the workday people of the country, the people who are going to lose their jobs are the ones. because we have to design that future, because the industrialists and the technologists who are pushing this forward and the politicians who are pushing this whole system forward are not bothering themselves with these little details about where are all these people who are going to be displaced to go, because they say that that's not our job. Well, then it's our job to step in right now before they have welded this new technology over our entire society and force a debate on these issues. And yes, to raise things like Ralph just mentioned there, like the universal basic income, which is a concept that's been around for a long, long time and actually is taking place in a number of places around the world, including here in our country. And there's a Native American tribe over in North Carolina that has a system of universal basic income based on the fact that they've got casino income coming in, and they share that with every member of their tribal society. So that's the kind of thing we've got to talk about, the sharing of the benefits from this, the sharing of the financial rewards that come out of this, the profits that these corporate executives are going to make and big corporate investors are going to achieve with robots are going to be huge, because they're going to take the payroll of every worker out there, everybody getting a paycheck. That check is now going to go to the corporation itself rather than to the workers. Well, the corporations eventually have got to worry about this themselves, because it's not just a workerless economy that they're developing, but it is a consumerless economy. Robots don't buy garments and gizmos. They don't go to restaurants. They don't buy homes. So who's going to buy this stuff that Apple and Google and all the rest of these outfits are going to be producing out there? So we've got to have some system of generating income for everybody. And one of the best ideas yet is universal basic income. The state of Alaska, of course, has been having this for quite a few years based on the oil profits that they have up there. The state mandated up there that oil profits are distributed to every individual, every family in the state of Alaska. So they've got a subsidy that has been incredibly beneficial to that state. And that's the kind of thing that we've got to talk about. But it's, you know, the devil is always in the details, and there's all kinds of right-wing forces saying, well, yes, we're for universal basic income, but they want to set it at about $5,000 a year. And they want them to say, see, we now don't need unemployment compensation. We don't need food stamps. We don't need other benefits that society provides, including Social Security. So they will try to use this as an excuse to eliminate government programs and instead just put a dab of money in people's pockets, but not enough to live on. And that's got to be the key. Universal basic income has got to be based on enough to live on wherever you are.
Well, let's ask the question that seems to be so obvious to a lot of our listeners. Let's say these big corporations displace millions of workers with robots. So they save on labor, but then there's nobody to buy their products because these people are unemployed. They don't have any consumer demand. Do they have any brains in CEO land in America to see what the future brings?
Well, their future is the current fiscal year. You know, their idea of future is not 10 years down the road or the next generation. It's immediate return on investment for their corporation. So they will take whatever shortcut is available, and that's how they get rewarded. By cutting workers, the corporation gets more profit, which makes it its stock price goes up. And so the executives themselves reap the benefits of that. So they don't look beyond their own wallet, basically, to see what is going to come down the road. And that is not going to be a world that they are going to want to be a part of if they intend just to take all of the benefits of this new technology and leave everybody else on their own. That's not going to be a very happy world in the long term, even for those super wealthy individuals, because they cannot build walls high enough to keep everybody out.
Well, you know, there's a group called Patriotic Millionaires, and another group just had 400 millionaires just petitioned the Republicans saying that they don't want a tax cut. So you have some enlightened, rich people around the country. So why don't they get together and propose something that might get the CEO's attention, namely a movement where the robots start at the top. The first robotic displacement is the CEO, and then the president of the company, and then the board of directors. So they have to start robotically at the top, because that's the biggest labor saving of all, right? I mean, the highest paid workers in a corporation, like the head of Walmart, $11,000 an hour, 8 hours a day. Have you ever thought of that? Because you're pretty good at satire and realism combined.
Yeah, well, there's already a little bit of that, an outfit over in Hong Kong, high-tech, that's a financial operation over there, has elected a robot to its board of directors. Made this robot, whose name is Bio, as an equal member of the board with a full vote on investments that the company makes for its clients. So maybe it is coming. And at least I would say, Ralph, we should get robot labor organizers and be movement organizers.
Right. You can incorporate these robots to their corporations, which means they're persons under the law. Maybe they could run for elections, huh?
Yeah. What do you think? And it might be a better outcome.
By the way, just to be practical in terms of how we're going to face this problem, a few days ago, I was at a viewing of this movie with Brad Pitt called The War Machine in Afghanistan, and it was sponsored in Congress in the evening by Republican Congressman Walter Jones, who's anti-war, and Congressman Nolan from Minnesota, Democrat, and Dennis Kucinich was there, and other people were there, and they were wringing their wrists that they couldn't get a debate on the Afghan war because the Republicans controlling the House and Senate are prohibiting even the Senate and House Foreign Relations Committee to have a debate the way Senator Fulbright did historically on the Vietnam War. So I stood up and I suggested to Walter Jones that they can have unofficial hearings. The Republican machine in the Congress, which is shutting down the Congress and the American people, doesn't have hearings on so many things, doesn't have witnesses from around the country, that they can't stop the Democrats and Republicans who want to debate on the war in Afghanistan, longest war in American history, costing a couple $1 trillion and all the death, destruction, etc. And he, lo and behold, said that's an important idea. And he was going to hold the public hearing, unofficial public hearing, sometime in mid-December. So why not get some Democrats and Republicans who think for themselves in Congress to hold unofficial public hearings on the invasion of the robot economy?
I think that is exactly what, among many tactics, we're going to have to generate a grassroots movement that forces this issue on the elites in our society. And I've long been an advocate of what you and Representative Jones were talking about there. I've spoken to Democratic members of Congress individually and in groups to say you don't have to just sit around there waiting on the Republicans to let you have a hearing. You are a member of the Congress. You take you and four others of you and go out to Peoria and go out to Pocatello and go out to Pilot Point and wherever and just bring people together and start talking about these things, because the official hearings are not getting anything done at all. In fact, they are their devices to shut out any effective progressive change. So let's have unofficial hearings with the people themselves, and people will come. If you just have a few members of Congress even go out to any metropolitan area or rural area, they will come and they will participate, and then the media will have to cover that locally, and then that will begin to build. The power for progressive change is not in Washington, obviously. It's out here in the countryside, and that's where we have to have a moment.
Right. Zeppelin. All right, folks, we're back live at the Marty Smith Show, and during the break, I ended up with a new caller. Caller, you say what?
Well, I said I wasn't sitting on the ground.
Ambassador Mark Bellamy.
Yeah, well, we know that you're successful. This caller has called in before, retired. You have an airline training program or a pilot training program, you told me.
No, I don't have no pilot training program. I used to be a structure steel erector. We do some few other things, working with some people. But I
aren't you the guy that asked me about the picture I had of the plane up on my website?
Yeah, the Bonanza?
Yeah. I took it down now. I put up Malcolm X. And we're going to take him down next week and put up somebody else. But what's going on in the world of politics from your perspective, man? We got a lot going on this week. All of these investigations and rumors, and is Hollywood collapsing? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, I'm not really particularly care about all these investigations and rumors. I'm just looking at the actions that Congress is doing on the issues that our president, Donald Trump, laid out when he was running. Of course, I voted
have
for
they
him.
Gotten, I mean, other than the tax vote in the House, they really haven't done much. There's not been much progress. It's been
well,
more bickering. It's been a lot of bickering.
Yeah, in the budget, there's
a lot of bickering.
Yeah, but in the budget, there is provisions for school choice, something that I'm highly supportive of. I'm highly supportive of a reform of the taxes, especially getting rid of that mandate with the insurance.
I agree with you on the mandate. That's probably one of the biggest things. I was never for a mandate, even when Obama put this through, because you move into a socialist directive, essentially, because the government is demanding that you have to do something. Furthermore, if nobody talks about this, but the way he wrote the Affordable Care Act, in the reason why everybody gets mad when they say, well, these many people will be uninsured, and those many people, and these many, it is written into the law that undocumented folk can sign up for the insurance. So the numbers are skewed. You know that, right?
Yeah, and I'm against that.
Well, I just think that you chase robbing Peter to pay Paul, and say it a better way. You robbing Pablo to pay Peter, or you robbing Pedro to pay Pablo? I don't know, but at the end of the day, when you get into the guts of that legislation that nobody wants to talk about, we're talking about all this rhetoric and positioning, but it was not written right. And this is what happens when you don't write legislation properly. That you didn't rein in your insurance premiums, you didn't rein in or even try to control in the legislation pharmaceutical costs. And so at the end of the day, if they don't set up something that a U.S. general or a congressman is privileged to under their health care for all Americans, I'm not with none of it. Sorry to be the bad apple, but I'm like that.
Well, Obama pulled another sneaky one. He increased the threshold for the poverty threshold by 130-something percent.
Yes, exactly.
And
Denzel Washington was on news yesterday talking about his new film. He filmed it here in L.A. I did a show 6 months ago after I had court duty downtown L.A., and I talked about the vast number. I mean, my man, as far as you can see, homeless people, tents all around the federal buildings, all around the state buildings. So Denzel talked about that yesterday. He said, I saw 10,000 people homeless, and I saw them, and I saw mostly young people. I mean, young folks.
Well,
it's
that may be so too.
We
but
have
the thing,
created
yeah.
a poverty class.
Yeah, he did. You know, by increasing the poverty threshold, he included able-bodied men in the formula to receive this insurance. Now, like I said before, and I may not have said it here, I'm for people having health care, but I don't want to have
Me
to pay
too.
For it.
Me too. Me too.
No,
I'm
I
with you on that.
Because I remember, you know, young people coming up, they're trying to save for down payment for their home. They're trying to pay off or go to school and also raise children. And if you add this added monthly expense amongst all the other expenses through taxations and fees and all other devious means on how you have to pay in order to survive, it's just totally unbearable. So, no, the way this thing is, the way it's constructed,
right.
I'm totally ignorant.
The law wasn't constructed right, bro. And here in California, we have dental in the law. You get dental insurance. They won't cover a cleaning. They will only pull your teeth. As you age, if you have less teeth, that means that you will eat less. Over time, you are increasing your rate of death.
And suppose you have false teeth. You still paying
they
for
don't,
it?
That's called cosmetic, my man. They'll snatch a tooth out. They ain't going to put one back. That's cosmetic. They won't
yeah.
clean your teeth. Then what if you get gum disease? Now you're at the hospital. I mean, it just, I have to say this. We are being shim-shammed by both parties, but the party that represents the people, quote-unquote, the Democrats, it's just pathetic what I see going on. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic to me. They just do not seem to grasp the greater issues and this hoodwink of the politics of now or the politics of division, because you wear a purple hat and speak French and I wear a blue hat and I speak African, you know, that kind of stuff. Are you from this island? I'm from that island. I'm supposed to care about you while I'm losing my job and being stiffed by my government and my ID was stolen. I don't even have I'm telling you a true story. I had to go to the doctor when I came back from Oakland 10, 15 years ago. Just went down to the county doctors who was going on with me, said, you can't use your name because somebody already, what? You can't use your Social Security number. Somebody already used it. Well, did y'all verify that that wasn't me, goddammit? And can you verify right now that I'm the motherfucker with that Social Security number? And can you get that fool off the system? No, I can't do none of that. Oh, okay. I'm cool. I'm cool. I won't vote Democrat as long as I'm black. I'm about to stop voting altogether. This is how pissed off I am with this whole thing. But this is insane what is going on around us, bruh. Okay, they create job programs so that they don't have to pay you the highest labor wage. Pay you a intern $10 hour right to work wage. You feel me? This is stupid. You got good jobs out here, but if you don't have a felony, you can't apply.
Yeah. Well, you know, so that's the immigration reform. They are getting rid of a lot of immigrants. You know, Obama had that rule set up that if an illegal got beyond 100 miles of the border, then the active pursuit on those people would diminish. And that was the threshold. Get me in within 100 miles of the border of the United States, and, you know, you're pretty well safe, safer than what you were if you had just crossed over. So he is going, ICE is going after those people left and right, and they need to be gotten out of the country. I don't think that they should be afforded benefits, go to school free and all that stuff, because it's just not right for...
Let me ask you this, because this is bothers me. This is an issue. Are you a veteran?
No, I was a
veteran. Okay, I'm not either. I did not serve in the U.S. military. However, you have some of these folks who came here with the DACA, and just generally that's what it is, and they have, and some are decorated U.S. veterans who fought in our wars, and now they're getting deported. I have a problem with that part there. I don't think that's right, and I think that,
well,
you know, anybody that's...
If you fight in
exactly. Well, but here's the thing. That just don't do it either. You can give me $50,000. I came here, and that'll get me through a year, but I am not from Mexico, El Salvador. I just came here as 5 years old. Now, I done fought. Now, all I know is California, Illinois. It's not right to send me...
The parents,
you know what,
should
I'm
have
saying?
Been more accountable. I know what you're saying. Parents should have been more accountable.
Look. As a child, how the hell I know what? I'm just now finding out what the hell my parents was doing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. No place else in the world, if you have a baby in that country, is that baby a citizen of that country. That's
well,
your
that
baby
to
take with
standard,
you when you go.
That used to be the standard in all of the U.S. If you had a child on U.S. soil, that child could be split citizen, but certainly had garnered United States citizenship. That was always the case. For me growing up, because folks was coming over here with a baby.
I have seen courts, I have heard a conversation that the 14th Amendment was not made for illegals. It was not. 14th Amendment came about from the repercussions of the Dred Scott decision. It was not made
but
for
it's
illegal.
Also the letter and the practice of the law. See, this is where the slippery slope is. Depending on what season is, either party, Republican or Democrat, will wear a different hat and support the legislation that they didn't support 10 years ago. That's what's going on now. Democrat
well, you got people
over.
Coming across the border. You got people coming across the border, pregnant, no matter how they got pregnant, and having babies here. Then because the baby is supposedly a citizen, they figure that they have a right to stay with the child. They use the term, don't break up the family.
That's common sense, man. If you have a child over here, whatever situation you got here with the child, you're going to stay with your children. That, whether you citizen or not, or, you know, I mean, even if I was a mother, I'm going to stay with my child no matter what my legal status is. That's a little different. I'm only dealing with these military folk who have damn near lost their lives or even may have been injured, even amputees, and you're going to deport these folk? Because they are of the letter of the law, not U.S. citizens. I think that there are greater
classes. Well, in 1939, they did so in 1939.
Yeah, I know that.
They expelled people who were even born here, Mexicans.
Actually, that was before 79.
No, I said 39.
Oh, I thought you said, I can't hear you. Yeah, 39. Yeah. That's about right. And that went all the way up into about the 60s, my man.
So there's a precedent for doing it. So I think that that should continue. I think he should build a wall, like he said. And the things that he said he's going to do during his campaign, that's what I would like to see. Now, if you want to talk about Zimbabwe, for instance,
say again?
I say, I think I heard you mention something about Zimbabwe.
Actually, I didn't talk so much specifically about Zimbabwe. I know what's going on with that. Mugabe, been around 36 years. He got in office when I was in high school. I remember it. But I see something different. Mugabe is highly backed by China. They actually own the economy. And probably a deal was made when President Trump was in China to shake things up. I'm going to tell you this. I find it hard for me to find sympathy for Mugabe. And you get to a point, and I was even like this with Mandela as he was aging. Go ahead and pass the baton. And because you can't take it to the grave, all you're going to do is run it in the ground. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. Mugabe done what he was supposed to do. In the revolution.
He's been doing it 36 years. He's been doing it 36 years.
Yeah, Mugabe done what he was supposed to do. It's Zimbabweans, especially those in the diaspora, that's living and lavishing in Western countries in their living rooms with electricity and AC and the protection of their country. They're the ones not doing what you would expect for them to do. See, the
what do you
back
expect
country,
them to do? What do you expect them to do? There was a time when Kenya was so rich, man. I mean, I went to school with Kenyans and Nigerians. I'm telling you, in the 80s, talking money and attitude. I mean, that was the biggest race argument I ever had was with the Africans.
Well, they have skills and talents that they should work to move their country forward, not sit in the comforts of another country and criticize what the government is or is not doing.
Yeah, but the whole diaspora of Africa, as well as the Middle East, as well as Latin America, and all other nations that don't represent this are backed this way. You either have Soviet backing, China backing, or United States, in some cases, Eastern Bloc, Germany, and now we got the EU, but none of that is as strong as either having Soviet, China, or the United States, you know. So this is how these countries trade their minerals, get their oil, build their infrastructure. I'm not mad at him for doing that to build up the wealth of the country. I think the problem becomes when we look back now, and now they've lost it all. Just like Obamacare. Now you're looking at the problem that you didn't want to deal with because you thought you was getting something for free.
Well, like I said before, you got people that look to central government far too often and for the wrong thing. And unfortunately, you see that amongst blacks in other countries and also in this country too. And you also see it when you bring in refugees and immigrants for whatever reason, coming from countries where they depend or look to the government to do things. They come here and they behave in the same fashion. Next thing you know, they would be voting, and they would be voting in social program after social program that's actually taxing people that's in the middle class, upper middle class, and imposing programs that people do not want to get involved in.
Let me hit you with some craziness. The reason why the middle class has been depleted is because the lower class of poverty does not need the middle class because it's benefit structure based.
Well, that could be so also. I believe in providing opportunities and helping. I don't believe that people should be on the dole for a continuation of their life.
Yeah, people should have a positive outlook at every aspect of their life. I don't care what aspect it is. At that, if there is a time when you're going to need some help and some assistance, and there should be a system safety net for that. However, that should not be the system of living for permanency, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of these programs they want the federal government to pick up. It should be handled at the state level.
Let me ask you, my man. Let me ask you, because my mind just clicked. You may be a man of higher means, right? Because of your success. Because of your business success.
Well, it wasn't given to me.
That's not the point. The point is, whatever you did, I have a radio show. It wasn't given to me. I didn't start it last year. I started it in the sixth grade when I started getting to know myself, and I just came to be. Exactly. God graced you with your ability. Now, being a man of means, how can you create that psychology within other folk?
I didn't hear you. What did you say again? I say
being a person of success and means, how can we create type of psychology in the mind, body, spirit of other people, listeners that listen to this show?
Well, one of the ways to do it, probably the most thorough way is with your education, with your school. But when you go to a school and ask to have access to a room full of children, let alone an auditorium full, well, in these public schools, they won't allow that. They want to know what you're going to speak on. And if you're speaking on something that goes against the program, for instance, like talking about school choice or speaking on the idea of directing students into higher-paying fields, you know, especially the ones that's in demand, they don't like to hear it, especially when you know of programs that's going on in private schools or any other school and ask them to look at that. They don't want to hear it.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't want to talk about the institutional practice. As an individual, though, how do you get an individual student to hear it? I've been more successful working with small groups of men and people than I have trying to address an entire class. I know that. And I've been a classroom teacher, and I've taught all the way up and mentored through college level.
Well, when you talk to the entire class, you're sort of like spreading icing on a cake. Now, if you want to cut out a piece of that cake and direct it to something specific, that is, I think, a more thorough way of doing things. First, you have to have people who's willing to listen to what you got to say. And then once you tell them...
Stop. What do you have to say? What do we tell them to get them to think like you and I?
Well, I can talk better on the things that I know. Now, the things that I know to talk on, if a person is not galvanized to that, there's nothing that you can do to them like that. You know, something as recently as cryptocurrency. We talk to people about that, but some folks don't want to hear anything about it. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, in any society, no matter where that society is located on Earth, you're only going to have a certain percentage amongst that society that's going to go in that type of direction. It's not going to
what
be everybody.
What is cryptocurrency? What is cryptocurrency?
Well, cryptocurrency, for a better recognition of the word, would be one in particular, that's a Bitcoin. So
exactly.
When you're talking on the subject, a lot of people don't want to hear it because they don't
why
know
should people invest
about.
In why should people invest in Bitcoin? That's all we pretty much have access to. There is some other coins. They start, believe it or not, they have a weed coin in the medical marijuana run across the nation. And the legal cannabis, because you can't use traditional banking with mass sums of money because you still have the federal ban on marijuana. So other than that, though, you do have the predominant is Bitcoin. Why should people invest in Bitcoin? I think I last checked one Bitcoin is about 10 G's, so 6,000 to 10, something like that.
Well, I'm not telling people that they should invest in Bitcoin. And by the way, you don't have to buy an entire coin, a whole coin. You can buy.
I know. Hello. Don't give it away to them. I know that. I did that.
Yeah.
I was going to buy a fraction of a coin. I can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin in your pocket.
But what I was saying is that.
But why should we invest in this? Why should we even open our mind up to this new level of thinking when we're just trying to keep a job and keep our bills paid and just get more dollars?
Well, like I said, it's not for everybody. And it's a new wave of intellectual technology that's being utilized. It will become a thing of the future. And how best to prepare yourself for the future, if not by now. So it should be studied.
Both in China and the Netherlands, all throughout that, they no longer are exchanging cash. It's all cryptocurrency, not necessarily bitcoins, but it's used in using cell phone technology to do all your transactions. They do not use cash. Cash is actually in some parts of the Nordic not accepted. So you are right, 100%. I'm just trying to egg you on to give me something a little juicy to say why people should actually stop their old level of thinking, get the information and the research, and consider a plan or a strategy to put some of your money into Bitcoin, because the rate of annual increase since the start, we ain't seen nothing like this. Maybe the first gold rush or the first oil find, the first one. You feel me? But Bitcoins continue to excel in the market. Now, I see a problem on the horizon when that becomes the structure behind the market. In other words, like the market used to be backed with gold in the United States. Now it's backed with paper currency that's supported by the Fed.
Well, you know, other countries.
Janet Yellen.
Other countries. You're talking about African countries. African countries could issue a cryptocurrency based on the resources that they have in ground. And that currency could be used in order to...
I don't think that'll ever happen. You know why I don't think that's going to happen? Because they're too heavily influenced by foreign entities that are not going to do it in the best interest of the Africans. They could
have actually did that with...
You could have did that same structure with elephant tusks. Elephant tusks are still highly traded and do have, you know, they trade a half a country for a certain elephant tusk or the land.
Well,
you see
what I'm saying is that those type of actions have to be done by people. You can't depend on central government as we were speaking earlier. But it is a way in order for them to capitalize, especially interest structures, that they need to have done. How you put it in place?
Well, you said everything but the how. How do we take one willing mind? Where do we direct them to go? Do they just do a browser search for Bitcoin? I'm going to do one while I'm talking.
Well, yeah, you can learn about the process. You can go to YouTube High School. You know, there's a black man in North Korea by the name of Deshaun, I believe it is, and he started the Proof Suites. Proof Suites done a ICO, and he discounted the positions 40%. In other words, those who came in early would pay 40% less. And therefore, when it did open to the public to buy, they would automatically be able to recover and come out with a 40% gain. But the proof suite is where they sell tokens against assets. Those assets can be, right, presently, it's real estate, apartment buildings, rental property, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, I pulled it up. You can actually, I would suggest you start. I'm on Firefox, and yeah, start there. Just do Bitcoin, one word, B-I-T-C-O-I-N, one word, and let's, for the record, Bitcoin is a worldwide cryptocurrency and digital payment system called the first decentralized digital currency, as the system works without a repository or a single administrator. In other words, cryptocurrency is digital. It is not physical. There is no central bank holding the coin or a single person. Even Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of it, does not hold the Bitcoin that you own in a repository, bank, or unit. It is actually a new way of thinking about currency. This is probably why it is you need to listen to this caller and get all of this information. This is probably going to be one of the fewer ways moving forward in our economy in which you might be able to do great things. But it's going to take education, and it's going to take you a change in value structure in terms of how you normally get down on your get down. Caller, what did you say?
Pardon me?
I said, wouldn't you say that it's going to take people a change in structure and thinking and overall renaissance to utilize knowledge such as bitcoins and cryptocurrency?
Well, absolutely. If not, they're going to get left behind or remain in the same sort.
Well, it's just like I was a computer teacher. It's just like in the 90s, in the 70s, okay? I remember when the first calculators, when we moved from the big old accounting paper calculators with the rolling tape to the calculator, and then that made life easier. And then with all the computer conversions, and that made life easier. But a lot of folk, and I learned this when I was teaching computers in the 90s, the early 90s, a lot of people do not understand technology, that it either will be something to include you to move forward or will exclude you and leave you behind. And a lot of people approach things with the same old psychology toward newness, as if it's just a new model car. No, it's a life-changing event if you know how to change it and roll with it. Facebook, Twitter, all of that has changed people's lives, even financially, for some folks. Other folks, they're just followers, right?
It's true.
So at the core, you are correct, and I'm giving you your accolades. People, you need to change your thinking. You need to become educated. Cryptocurrency, we are actually probably going to have to get back into this in another way and really start pulling it apart. And I will challenge the caller to call back in. I thought I had recorded your information. Yeah, I did. So we'll have you, and I may send you a text to let you know, or drop your message, however we have to do it. But in a few weeks, we'll get some more into this. But you know what? Let me say this. On Monday, we're going to be looking at the tax. So at 11:30 Monday, hit me back here at the Marty Smith Show. I only got 5 minutes left today. I got started a little late. But we're going to have to pull apart this tax proposal, because there are things in it in which folk are saying that it's just going to wipe out, it's all for the rich and this, that, and the other. But I saw some things that if you are business-minded, oh, man, you want this. But if you're not business-minded, you're not going to see the benefit in any of it. And since at the end of the day, caller, it's coming whether we like it or not because they have enough votes to pass it, don't they?
Yeah, especially when Roy Moore gets reelected.
I don't think he's going to, even if he gets elected, I don't think they're going to seat him. And I'm not for him, but and I'm from Alabama, but I just don't think they're going to seat him. And because Mitch has already said they're not going to seat him. So you're going to have just ongoing, like I said, it's the beginning of the show. You're going to have ongoing back and forth arguments and this, that, and the other. But that's not the point. Don't get caught on that. We want to talk about the direction of the tax proposal as it is being evolved on Monday, 11:30 Pacific Standard Time. You feel free to call us back, and we'll feel free to talk to you. How about that part there, huh?
Okay,
can we make a
great
deal? I'm a deal maker.
All right, well,
can
I'm
we make a
here.
Deal? All right, big boy.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm out of town. I'll try to get there, but I'm going to pull out right now, and nice being on your show.
Thank you again, caller. All right, folks, we got a lot going on. That's one of my baller callers, actually. Brother made a lot of money, older than me, put up high-rise buildings. That's what he did. When I heard his story, it was like, you know, somebody just educated me on doing this, and I stuck with it. One thing I would love to get more out of him is a direction in terms of how can your information work for somebody else as opposed to being so hostile about folk who didn't get to your level of utility of information. You create this cyclical issue in which, and we as black folk always do this. Everybody does this. I've seen professors of all races do this. You get so high and mighty in your own mind of success that you don't actually want to be a transfer agent to allow the students behind you to your knowledge base. And so you play this academic game or this intellectual game or this BS game of never giving the people who need the information the damn information. And then you blame them for not having the information. I'm just saying. All right, folks. I'll be back today because we got UCLA and USC. And you know what?
We're having a party, dancing to the music by the DJ on the radio. The cokes are in the ice box, popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out here on the road. So Mr. DJ, keep
don't recite.
Having a good time. Dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging. Sally's doing that twist now. If you take requests, I got a feeling for you. Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I. Get your mashed potatoes. No other songs will do. Let me tell you, Mr. DJ, keep those
don't
away. 'Cause I'm having
had such a good time.
Uh-huh.